Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Yesterday we talked about tourism in the state, including the places you can go right here in South Dakota. Today we talk about how you're going to get there. The South Dakota Department of Transportation paves the way and coordinates services to help travelers and goods get from here to there. Think highways and bridges and railroads. South Dakota Secretary of Transportation Darren Berquist joins us now on the phone from Pierre. Secretary Berquist, welcome to In the Moment.
Oh, good morning.
I think for listeners who aren't quite familiar with the department, it might be useful for you to give us an overview of what it's all about. What all happens in transportation in South Dakota? Big question, but a summary.
Yeah, very, very wide open question. You know, yeah. and oftentimes when people think of the Department of Transportation, they think of us as the highway department. Mm-hmm. And certainly that's a big part of our responsibility. We're responsible for the state highway system, which makes up roughly 8,000 miles of the interstates and the other main highways in the state, you know, both in terms of maintaining those, plowing snow, those type of activities. But we're also involved in other aspects of transportation. We're involved in railroads. The state owns a number of railroad lines across the state that the rail board manages. And we've been trying to rehab some of those lines and expand rail service to South Dakota shippers, and that's been very successful here in the last 5 to 10 years. We're involved in aviation, particularly in helping with our federal partners to fund improvements to many of the public airports in the state. And then we're also involved in public transit through our rural transit providers that are spread across the state that provide a very valuable service to a variety of people, whether it be elderly people or disabled people, helping them get to and from work and groceries and medical appointments and those type of things. So quite a broad range of transportation areas that the DOT is involved in.
Rural transit providers. Tell me more about where those exist. That's something that's a surprise to me. I haven't heard of them.
Well, there are about 20, roughly 25, that's not the exact number, really spread across the state to provide service to as many people in the state as possible. We get a lot of help from the federal government to help fund those services. The state administers that program. We provide some state funds to those operators, and then they raise money locally from local government entities and advertising and the fares that they charge. So they basically run a bus service, most vehicles are buses or vans, maybe specially equipped to help people in wheelchairs and that type of thing. We've got a very large service in Pierre, and most of the larger communities in the state, Aberdeen, Brookings, Watertown, Yankton, Huron, and then some of our tribal partners also provide this service as well.
So where people, they need rides to a doctor's appointment, I would imagine. How broad is the service versus, I'm thinking a city bus or something that's running all the time. These are more like meeting individual needs.
Some of both.
Okay.
And they're not certainly not restricted to just running in the community that they're in. Many of them provide rides, for instance, to doctors well outside of the community for people that qualify and are in need of that service. So if somebody is in need of that service, I would certainly suggest they contact their local provider to find out what's available and what types of services a provider may be able to give them to help them in their situation.
So do you go into a new legislative session with certain priorities, or do you set priorities for 2018? What do you want to focus on today?
Well, with this legislative session for us, back in 2015 was probably the biggest legislative session for us, and that's when we were able to get past Senate Bill 1, which was the comprehensive highway and bridge funding bill or funding package. Once we got that done, which had been our number one priority legislatively for quite a number of years, we've been a little more quiet on the legislative front. This year we've introduced 4 bills, only one of which is really substantive in nature. 3 of them are just kind of cleanup language type bills, but the main bill that we have brought forward this year would allow make some changes to state law to allow us to start using, particularly on the interstate system, some of the variable speed limits that you may see in other states. I know both Wyoming and Montana have used them very successfully, and those are the digital speed limit signs that you might see on a segment of interstate, which allow you to change the speed limit on very short notice, depending on traffic conditions, accidents, and most commonly due to weather conditions. We want to start, we don't have that ability, and we haven't used them in South Dakota yet, but states like Wyoming, for instance, has used them. They've been very successful, about a 50% reduction in weather-related crashes in those segments when they're able to lower the speed limit on the interstate due to bad weather, and also helps you not have to close the interstate as often because you can just lower the speed to a safe level. Trucks and other vehicles that need to be traveling in bad weather can do so safely without endangering anybody else. So that would be the biggest bill that we've brought forward this year, and it has it's passed out of its first committee, and we'll continue to work with it and the legislators to try to get that passed.
How does something like that get implemented? And what I'm wondering is, what's the process for making the change, making those decisions? Do you have to set then pretty extensive policy, or is it going to be a conversation, a daily conversation, really?
It will start off being essentially, hopefully weather isn't such that it has to be a daily conversation, but
right. Let's hope.
some winters it seems that way, but thankfully this winter hasn't been so bad. And once the infrastructure is in place, once all the signs are in place and the communication technology that, will allow you to essentially flip a switch, so to speak, and change that on a moment's notice, we would like to be able to, over time, progress with that and have sensors in the pavement and cameras and ultimately make it a little more of an automated system than somebody, whether it be a highway patrol trooper or a snowplow driver or, other people like that out there actually in the conditions providing input as to whether the speed limit should be reduced. But it'll be a developing system. It's something we're doing. Assuming we can get the legislation passed to implement it, it's really going to be a partnership effort between the Department of Transportation, the Department of Public Safety, and the Highway Patrol. They are very supportive of the concept as well, and all three of us, or all three entities, are going to work together as it develops and to see how we can implement it best in South Dakota.
No, it sounds like a common sense thing, something that, needs to happen in the future, 50% reduction in weather-related crashes, and I'm guessing it all comes down to money. So is that the challenge, that you have to figure out how to fund it, or are there other opposing voices from the trucking industry, for example, or other places?
No, I think that I kind of two-part question there. I'll talk about the trucking industry. Trucking industry is very supportive of it, from a safety standpoint, and from the standpoint of trucks got to get through, and they're on a timeline, and if the interstate has to be closed due to weather, that can really impact their operations. So anything that can help keep that interstate open and keep those trucks moving, certainly they're supportive of. And matter of fact, they testified in support of the bill at committee. Certainly cost is a factor. We have applied for and hoping to get some federal funding help to at least help with some of the initial startup costs. And once we get to that point, we'll have to balance a little bit the amount of cost to run the program and to expand the system versus what we're seeing in savings from reduced crashes and safety on our interstate.
Hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the Senate Bill 1, the Highway and Bridge funding package from 2015. Where are we at here in entering 2018 in sort of the implementation and improvement of the, dealing with the South Dakota bridge problem, really?
Sure. In talking of bridges specifically, the Senate Bill 1 has really done what we anticipated it would. in terms of increased revenue. In 2017, the additional revenue was generating was slightly even higher than we had projected in 2015. So it's doing what we anticipated in providing additional funds that are available for road and bridge projects in the state, both at the state level on the state highway system for us and then at the local level, particularly at the county level. You mentioned bridges. Our bridges on the state highway system are in excellent condition. Where our struggle as a state is with bridges is on that local system, on the county system. And so the counties are getting some additional revenue as a result of Senate Bill 1 that's helping them begin to address that need or that backlog in bridge repairs. Another thing that came out of Senate Bill 1 was the creation of the Local Bridge Improvement Grant Program, or what we call the Big Fund for short. And that's a program that is administered through the department and the South Dakota Transportation Commission that makes available grant funding to further assist cities and counties with their bridge repair needs. And currently that's a $9 million a year competitive grant program that was developed as part of Senate Bill 1. It will grow to become a $15 million program in 2019. So that's another way that those local government entities have been able to start chipping away at that backlog of bridge repair needs that exists all the way across the state.
You mentioned rail lines and services and possible expansion. Give us an idea of what might be on the horizon there.
Well, I'm not sure I can say that there's anything on the horizon. It's actually been a busy last 5 or 6 years for the rail board and the department in terms of what we have done for expansion. We've done some rehab on our state-owned line that runs from Aberdeen up into North Dakota. We've seen a new grain elevator built in Britain. We've done two really large projects to rehab the state-owned line, the two segments from Mitchell to Chamberlain and Chamberlain to Presho. Those projects are complete. There's trains running on those now. As a result, we saw a large grain facility at Kimball. We saw a wheat growers facility go in at Kennebec. And Dakota Mill and Grain is in the process of building another large facility at Presho. And then we've also been working on restoring rail line service on what's called the Napa to Platte line, which starts just north of Yankton. It branches out the BNSF line there and goes west. And as a result of those efforts, another large facility went in down there called Dakota Plains, and they were building a rail industrial park at the junction of those two rail lines. And we're starting to see some other businesses go in there that need reliable rail service in order to function. So a lot of good, we've done a lot of good things over the last 5 years to expand rail service in the state. And the rail board is always looking for new opportunities to do that. I know there's interest in going west of Presho all the way to Myrtle, for example. And at the same time, we got to balance the expansion versus making sure we're maintaining and taking care of the rail that we already have.
So what I want is a passenger train from Rapid City to Sioux Falls. Can you get that for me?
You're not the only one who's been interested in that. Seems like that comes up about once a year.
Why has that not been done already?
Unfortunately, it's a little bit cost prohibitive at the moment.
I guess that must be. I guess I have to wait for my driverless car.
There you go. You may, and quite honestly, happen. You're probably going to see that first. That before first. You see that rail line.
In my imagination, it really works well.
Well, you know, but why you mentioned it, maybe just briefly on the driverless cars. That's really going to, that technology is growing so fast, so quickly, that it's going to be one of the struggles that we have as a department is to make sure that we're keeping up with that and prepared for it when it comes, and that that we have the infrastructure in place to be able to allow that technology to use our highways in the state. It seems like when I first heard about the concept of driverless cars, it was kind of like a science fiction type of thing that I laughed and said, I'll never see that in my lifetime. It seems to be getting closer and closer now in the speed at which the technology is coming. I think we're going to see it sooner than maybe any of us anticipated, and we need to make sure as an department that we're ready for that and that our state roads and bridges are ready for that as well.
Right. I will not be an early adopter. I will tell you that. I mean, I like the idea, but we'll let some other people try.
Yeah, somebody else can test it first.
It's one of those nightmares that you have at night, right?
Yeah.
Secretary of South Dakota Department of Transportation, Darren Berquist, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being here. Come back again.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you.